Welcome, great patriotic friends, to August 16th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. One of the reasons why I do this show is because I'm proud of America, especially our troops. If you are serving or if you've ever served in the military, thank you. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in beautiful San Diego, America's finest city. If you're ever looking to move here, or if you have any questions about real estate investments or properties, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, then give her a call at 619-507-4906. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. So let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And now on to today's show.
News of Elvis Presley's death hits the headlines. Ernest Said is accused of bribery in Congress.
And the Miami Dolphins become the first expansion team in the AFL. All right, so now let's get started.
1977.
Here are the headlines.
The Sun. King Elvis dead. Daily News. Elvis Presley dies at 42. Singer suffers heart attack. Memphis Commercial Appeal. Death captures crown of rock and roll. Millions around the world were all shook up like a heartbreak hotel when Elvis would return to sender on this day in 1977. His addiction to prescription drugs had gotten the best of him. Born January 8, 1935 in Tupelo, Mississippi, this hound dog was inspired by the gospel music he heard growing up to enter talent contests, win the attention of an agent named Colonel Tom Parker, and basically take the world by storm, and had fans burning love for him. He made his film debut in 1956, starring in Love Me Tender, and since he couldn't act, was able to sing his way through the musical, upsetting critics and winning over fans. His suspicious mans wouldn't let him set his blue suede shoes on foreign soil, however, as he only toured in the United States and Canada. Many blamed that on Parker, who was accused of being an illegal alien from Holland, even though he served in the U.S. military. On the 1st of May in 1967, Elvis married Priscilla Beaulieu, with whom he had his only child, Lisa Marie. Then, the American trilogy collapsed, as Elvis said, "Are you lonesome tonight?" and divorced Priscilla in 1973. But Elvis the Pelvis, the king of rock and roll, who shook his hips because, well, Forrest Gump taught him to do that, was hitting the Vegas circuit during the 70s, and his addiction to prescription drugs, as well as his waistline, grew larger than his rhinestone-studded jumpsuit. The devil in disguise wasn't stuck on you anymore, but rather his latest flame, Ginger Alden, would find Elvis dead on his bathroom floor, and at 3:30 p.m. at Baptist Memorial Hospital, where doctors, even though it's now or never, couldn't revive him. At least 80,000 folks showed up to the king's funeral procession, and he was buried next to his mother at Forest Hill Cemetery. But when grave robbers tried to steal his body, I mean, come on, man. The two grave sites would have to be relocated to Graceland, where still over 500,000 people visit it every year to this day. Rest in peace, King Elvis.
1888. Happy birthday, Electra Havemeyer Webb, founder of the Shelburne Museum in Vermont. When she was growing up, Electra's parents, Electra's her real name, by the way, collected some seriously good stuff from Asian and European countries. Very cool. But what about the American antiques? You know, those things are pretty cool too. So Mrs. Webb decided to carry on her parents' hobbies, only an Americanized version of it. In 1947, she opened Shelburne Museum, featuring the Collection of Collections, as she calls it, an educational project, varied and alive, according to the museum's website. Everything Americana she needed for the museum was already there up and down the East Coast. Houses, barns, schoolhouses, a jail, general store, lighthouse, you name it, the whole neighborhood is in the Shelburne Museum. And I don't mean miniature collections. I'm talking about actual real-life buildings. The fact that she was married to a Vanderbilt no doubt helped fund her collection. It's 39 buildings and thousands of rooms on 45 acres. The collection is massive. Dolls, tools, carriages, toys, furniture, American Indian artifacts. Check it out. Happy birthday, Electra!
1892. German bimetallist Ernest Sayd is accused of bribing Congress. Born in Prussia, March 7, 1830. Economist Ernie Sayd immigrated to America when he was young, then moved back to Europe and then to Paris during the 1848 revolution against monarchies that started in Sicily and went to France and Germany, etc. He became a close advisor to the Bank of England, and when Germany went to a gold-only standard, Sayd was credited with successful banking reforms in several European countries. Meanwhile, America was reeling from the Crime of 73, or the Coinage Act, as it were called, which I get into much more detail on my September 13th ep, basically ended bimetallism in the US, and America went on the gold standard. That's about the time when Sayd was accused of using money from the Bank of England to bribe key US senators and congressmen to vote for a gold-only standard. Then on this day in 1892, statesman Ignatius Donnelly, aka Frederick Luckenbach, supposedly produced a sworn statement that accused Sayd of making bribes. But it didn't make any sense. Sayd was a bimetallist. He fought against the gold standard in Europe and America, and went to the trouble of actually writing a 250-page book called Suggestions in Reference to the Metallic Currency of the United States. Yes, he did. So it looks like just more fake news. On May 1st, 1881, Ernest Sayd passed away and never really got to see himself exonerated from a blatantly false accusation. And finally, in football news, 1965, the Miami Dolphins become the first expansion franchise in the AFL.
And so that, scholars, is going to wrap it up for August 16th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance,
Elvis fans, and I mean serious Elvis fans, did you happen to be counting how many song references I made there in that story? If it did, let me know, because I didn't bother counting. What about that German bimetallist? Did he have any influence over America's acceptance of the gold standard or not?
Soda fans, Coke or Pepsi? Honestly, you could blindfold me and I wouldn't know the difference in a taste test. Ramones fans, what's your favorite song? Pet Sematary? I Want to Be Sedated? I think I was always a fan of Blitzkrieg Bop myself. So yeah, let me know what you think. And you can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. And don't miss tomorrow's show. I'll talk about the race to Messina.
I'll talk about a very furry rabbit and Operation Ajax.
So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. And until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.